This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello and welcome to Perfect Person, the show where I'm perfect and you're a person. Today, I had two entrees. Daddy said, let me take a look at the menu, and that's actually going to be on two entrees. Can I get anything? Because I saw the menu and I said, guess who's having two entrees? Little sandwich. And then also a slice of pizza. When I have a slice of pizza, and I'm talking about pizza, I also get a sandwich because I was feeling hungry and I figured actually I skipped brekkie because I forgot to eat and I got busy during the day. And then as the day goes around and it comes around, what goes around, goes back around. I found myself at about 2 p.m. thinking, well, I better double up on the meal because I skipped brekkie. Did I have coffee? Yer. Did I have coffee a second time? Yer. But did I have that brekkie? Did I have that lunch? Ner. So 2:25 rolls around and I'm thinking that I better deserve to have that feast. Because when in doubt, you know daddy's got a feast. That's merch. That's the title of a book. And that's going to be the Miles Nation State of the Union Address. Daddy's gotta have a feast. Daddy's gotta have a feast. Yeah. I'm alone in the studio today. I'm obviously alone in the studio today. And it's because it's another bicentennial solo episode. And by bicentennial, I mean a few times a year, sometimes two, sometimes three. But I'm obviously here to give people an outlet because today is a very special episode. Today's episode is the confessional booth episode. Forgive me, Miles, for I have sinned. It has been this many years since my last perfection. I am here to offer a weary ear to strangers on the internet who listen to this podcast. I want people to call me and confess their sins, confess their troubles, their struggles, their secrets. I am but a single man, but by confessing your secrets to me, perfect you may be. The Church of Perfection is open. And I got to say, by the way, people be having too many secrets. I was screening through the calls. People have a ton of secrets. And a bunch of them are stuff that shouldn't even be secrets. People are like, I accidentally kissed somebody. Just say it's fine. Just tell them what up. But I've got secrets, okay? I've got shit from my fucking past for real. On the real? You guys think I don't have secrets? Because I've got secrets. I understand that I'm an influencer open book. I understand that I'm sort of giving my secrets to the people. I'm throwing them out there. But I've got juice. I've got dirt. It's all up in here. It's locked and loaded. Stuff about people you don't even know. Stuff about people you know. Yeah. Stuff that would break the internet. Charli D'Amelio is the Zodiac Killer. But imagine if that was true. Be kind of interesting, right? It doesn't make sense. She wasn't alive when the Zodiac Killer was murdering people. Unless Charli D'Amelio is secretly 70 years old and she used reconstructive alien surgery because she's also a lizard. But the point is that everyone's got secrets. Here's a secret of mine. I was working on a job a while ago in a really expensive house. This is before I started working at Try Guys. Freelance job. I'm on the day to be a cam op. I'm in this expensive house, me and this one other guy. It's very expensive house. The house so expensive. And at the time, I didn't have any money because I just not gotten a job at BuzzFeed. So I was freelancing to make rent. And I'm in this house. I've got a camera in my hands. I'm sort of setting stuff up. Uh-oh. Miles is holding a C-stand and it accidentally sort of goes, gung-gung! And there was a crash. And the guy looks over and just goes, everything okay over there? Like, you good? And I was like, yeah, no problem. And then I looked over and I saw that I had broken some sort of really expensive looking piece of pottery, some sort of art piece that was so fucking nice. So fucking nice that I was like, that is my rent for 2 months. I can't fucking afford it. And it's shattered underneath the table. So guess what Daddy did? Daddy scooted the table. Daddy scooted the table over the thing. And this was a house, by the way, it was like one of those houses they rent out for shoots like this. It was like a fashion shoot. So they're shooting this product, or it was like fashion or products or something like that. That's what we're shooting. And I knew that this house wasn't like, people maybe lived there, but it was not, it was also a house they rented out for things like this. And I just scooted the table just a little bit so it hid this thing. And that day we cleaned it all up. We cleaned up all our gear. We got ready and we left. And I never said anything. And I have kept that secret until now when I'm telling you. Because I think the statute of limitations for breaking something on a job like that is over for me now. But it was very scary in the moment because I was just like, if this guy is mad at me, one, I'm not going to gain money on this job and I needed to pay my rent. And two, if I have to pay for it somehow, I am in so much fucking trouble. I was like, I didn't have any money in my bank account. I was like really running low, being like, I need this job to pay me out so I can pay my fucking rent. Rough times. But sometimes you got to keep those secrets, okay? Sometimes the best way, and I got, the guy was not that nice. So I didn't feel that bad. The point is, my secret is now cleansed. My secret is now out there, and so too can your secret be, and that's why we've got to hop on the phones to get the people's confessions, okay? Confess! I'm like a cop that can absolve you of your sins. Bible cop. Okay, how have they not done that movie? Bible cop? That's fucking genius, by the way. A cop? It's actually not genius. But the point is, I got to get to these phone lines. But before I do, I need to let you know that you should subscribe and turn on notifications for every single episode. So when a new episode comes out, you're like, bing, hi, it's Miles in your inbox on your phone. And you're like, oh my God, my friend Miles, let's listen to the new episode. And by the way, if you love the show, and if you're like, this show's awesome, I can't get enough. Every episode, I'm psyched for the next week, and I can't even wait. And Miles' friends come on the show, and they're so funny, and I love the callers. If you love the show, and you can't get enough of it, just know that now you can! By joining the Patreon and getting exclusive access to ad-free extended versions of every single episode of the show, including this one, where I took a bonus call in the cold open. So you can head on over to Patreon to get that, as well as bonus episodes every single Friday where I call back people from the show and I get their updates about how my advice changed their lives, as well as switching and turning and twisting the format on its head. And taking special calls that I never would even take on the regular show because they're too saucy or too weird or too funky. So head on over to Patreon to get all that and more. But until then, gang, we got to get to these confessions because they are piping hot.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
So, hi, Miles. One time when I was in middle school, I had a full Kevin from the Office moment where I spilled an entire crock pot of chili in the hallway, and then I left it. And then when they called me into the office the next day to ask if it was me, because I was one of the very few students in the building after hours, I lied. And I have never felt more horrible that those poor janitors had to clean up a crock pot full of chili on the carpet. I feel so much better getting that off my chest. Thanks. Hello.
Hello. Welcome to the Church of Perfection, where confession is only a call away. And I will absolutely tell you, I am ready to hear your confession about the chili crock pot. And I'm going to need to give you a fake name. And that name has got to be Beef.
So I was in eighth grade and I was on the student council and in band. And so I had my saxophone in its case. And we were doing a fundraiser of a chili cook-off to raise money for student council.
Can I just say, a chili cook-off as a fundraiser is a fucking batshit idea. Whose idea? Is it a competition chili cook-off?
Absolutely. Everything's a competition.
Of course. So you're cooking chili and people are buying the different chilies from each other?
Yeah. So it was like, which again, now looking back at, like, we shouldn't have made, it was the teachers that were buying bowls to try all the different.
It was a fun, you were like, hey, I know you guys are.
Underpaying them, and then we were making them pay for, you know, free lunch. But that wasn't free.
I know you guys are at work right now, but I'd like you to buy my bad chili that I made.
Yeah. So it was like a soup and chili cook-off that was hosted by the student council. And so it was, I had some left in my crock pot, but I had to walk home and I had my saxophone case.
Yes.
And I had to walk home, but it's very hard to hold a crock pot that's heavy with a saxophone case.
Sure. Yeah.
And so I was walking out the door and I was so close to being outside where it wouldn't have been an issue.
In the clear. You're so close to being past the finish line with your, by the way, how are you, like, are you sort of holding it grocery style where it's like your arms are around your saxophone case and your crock pot?
So I had like one hand on one handle of the crock pot and the other hand was holding the case of the saxophone and the other side of the crock pot.
Oh, God.
So okay. I was really relying on a really strong grip strength that I didn't have.
Yeah.
And I also had tiny, you know, 13-year-old girl hands, so.
Yeah, sure. Got it.
Doesn't have a lot of surface area.
And no one's around, also, because
no one's around.
No one witnessed the crime.
School got out at like 3. It's like almost 4. And so there's only a handful of students that could possibly be, one, part of student council, but also there after hours.
Sure. Yeah, right. There was a lineup. There was sort of a there was a vision board with like the top suspects. And you were, of course, one of them because you were there at the cook-off.
I'm not convinced that they didn't have video, but I lied my ass off when they called me into that office.
By the way, I remember getting called in. This is just a tangent, but I got called into the principal's office once in middle school and they go, Because I was sort of a troublemaker in middle school. I would get in trouble for various things. And like, you know, I was like a young boy full of creative spunk and energy. I was just figuring it out. So I was getting in trouble like a decent amount, fifth, sixth grade, right? I got called in one time. This might have been seventh grade, but maybe it was sixth. But I get pulled in. And at this point, they were like, they were just pulling me off the street. The fucking feds were in up my ass, okay, beef? The feds are up my ass, and they're pulling me into the station. So I go downtown, and they sit me in one of these interrogation rooms. They come up, and they go, Miles, what's the hot list? And I was literally like, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. You've got the wrong John, okay? They pulled me down there, beef. Because they didn't have intel that I even knew what the hot list was. They just brought me in because they're like, this kid's fucking bad news. And he's got to know what the hot list was. I didn't know what the hot list was, but basically these other kids, this fringe group on the other side of the school, they had created a hot list that was the hottest students in the school. And they had ranked them.
Were you on the list?
I don't think I was even on. I didn't make the cut. Here I am. I'm fucking, and I'm like, I'm not going to take the fall for these kids. I go, no, I don't fucking know what the hot list.
They don't even give you the rating.
Yeah, they're not even going to put me on the list. And what? I'm not even on the list. And now I'm going to take the fall. So then I just am like, I don't know what you're talking about. They go, are you sure? The hot list? It was a short meeting. And I was like, no, I literally don't. And they're like, are you sure, Miles? You're not, you don't know what the hot list is. You didn't write the hot list. And I'm literally like, no, what do you want me to do? You want me to fucking take a line? I'll take a fucking polygraph. I don't know who wrote the hot list is. And then they let me go. They were like, all right, go back to seventh period or whatever. So I went and yeah, but it was just the experience of being called in is terrible. So you get called to the principal's office because obviously you dump the chili, right? The chili doesn't make it out the door.
No, I full on just like dropped everything in this hallway 10 feet from the door and in like, I mean, it's the Kevin from The Office is the full picture I'm gonna give because that is I saw that episode later and like so a few funny. Years later I'm like, oh my god, that's me. Did they get video?
This is security camera footage. It's so that clip is so devastating of Kevin with the chili and he's just like slopping around. It's so sad.
Yeah, and I'm just like scooping whatever chili I can like off the ground into back into the crock pot.
No.
Because I'm like, I want to leave as little evidence as possible. Hopefully I got to get out of here before anyone sees me. And so I leave. Obviously, I get rid of the chili evidence once I get home because it was ground chili.
What did you do? Sorry, what did you tell your parents?
I told them it was really popular. I told them I like sold out.
My chili was so good, I sold the entire fucking basket. I sold the whole basket, exactly. Mom and Dad. Oh, my God.
Aren't you proud of me?
Yeah.
I did so good.
I did so good. Your tears streaming down your face. That is another thing. Like, if you're like in middle school, whenever you get in trouble or whenever something bad happens, you just cry, like, so hard. And it doesn't. It's just tears going down your face.
So that was my strategy. So they called me into the principal's office the next day. And they're like, hey, like, did anything happen after school yesterday? Like, I don't know what you mean.
You still covered in chili. You're like, you get chili all over your clothes. Yeah, you're like, I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about, actually. So I have to get back to my class.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. And they're like, well, someone spilled chili on the carpets, and we have to like hire a cleaning crew to come like totally redo the carpets.
Oh, because it's beef. Like, yeah.
I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. And they're like, Alexis, there's only a few people that could do it. And I just started crying. I was like, how could you think that of me? Like, why wouldn't I do that? Like, and I was a total teacher's pet, like total suck up. Like,
right. Yeah, there's no, I think that crying is a good tactic when you're older too, if you want to get away with something. If you just start letting the tears
speedy
roll.
Tickets, cry.
Yeah, just cry. Because people don't want to deal with you when you're crying.
A boss is upset at something, cry.
Definitely cry. Parking ticket, cry. Job boss upset about anything, cry. It's a good get a jail free card. So you sort of get out scot free though. That you cry and then they say no problem.
Yeah, they let me off the office. I never heard anything else about it.
Wow.
The only one I've really talked about it with is my husband.
You're the only person you confessed this to was your husband. Your husband's like, Yeah, that's fine. You spilled chili 10 and a half years ago. That's completely fine.
I still feel so bad because I know, like, especially now as an adult where you get perspective and you like are like, oh shit, like that probably cost them hundreds of dollars to like.
Oh, they had to like steam clean the carpets. Yeah, like industrial strength carpet sucker.
And the janitors are always, either really creepy or like the nicest people in schools. I remember our janitor kind of being pretty nice, but then, I don't know, he might have just been nice to female girls. You never know.
Oh, but, yeah. There's always that chance.
No, I just said I just still feel bad because I just cost these poor innocent people more effort into their low-paying jobs for being way too confident in my gut strength.
Well, thank you so much for your confession and consider yourself absolved and welcome to the Church of Perfection. You don't need to worry about your past mistakes because now you're better than everybody else. Well, Beef, thank you so much for calling in and giving me your confession. I'm blown away by your honesty. And you have to do 5 Hail Marys, and then you'll get into perfection.
Thank you so much. I'm a really big fan, and I appreciate the call back to absolve me of my sins.
Thank you very much for calling in, and thanks for listening to the show. I really appreciate it.
Of course. I was actually just listening to episode when you called, so that's perfect timing while I was cooking chicken noodle soup.
Oh, that's so funny. I bet that was like a weird feel. You're like, oh, here I am on the podcast when I was just listening to the podcast. What a disorienting feeling.
So disorienting. Yep.
Anyway, well, thank you so much, Beef. Have a great night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Man, that fucking visual of just a kid spilling chili and trying to get it back into the cup, into the crock pot. Man, it's just so sad. Just so much wasted chili. Okay, we've got some financial fraud here from a Greek organization.
My confessional for the Perfect Person podcast is that somebody in my sorority at my university lost $11,000 of sorority money while they were treasurer. I'm not supposed to know about it, and so it is my secret in that way. And they aren't telling the sorority about it, so I feel like they could get sued, but they haven't been. That's my secret.
That's so much fucking money. $11,000? Oh my God. I'm going to need more details here because that is so much goddamn money to lose.
Hello?
Oh, welcome to the Church of Perfection. It's obviously me, Miles Bonsignore, and I'm here to hear you confess your sins.
Oh my God. Okay.
Well, I'm obviously going to need to give you a fake name, and it's got to be Tina. Tina.
Okay, I'm
how
Tina.
How did you come to learn about the grand larceny of Theta Cow Epsilon or whatever your sorority was called?
We are a individual sorority at our university. If I tell you our name, I'm fucked.
No, yeah. No. Do not tell me your name. I don't want this to get leaked back to you because, by the way, $11,000 is like a crime, I think.
I know. That's what I'm like. Everyone I've talked to about this, which to be fair has been my parents and my best friends, they're like, should you report this? And I'm like, but I don't know if I trust the source it came from, but like a lot of people seem to know about it. Okay.
Okay.
So can I have a fake name for my best friend?
Yes, you're going to be Tina and your best friend has got to be Lauren.
Okay, so my best friend Lauren is a social butterfly. She has lots of friends in our sorority. And this is crazy, by the way, being on the podcast.
Hey, welcome. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. So Lauren is besties with everyone. Somehow everyone wants to gossip with her. She's from LA. It's just like she's that vibe. We are not in LA, by the way.
Okay.
So she is told by the current treasurer of our sorority that last year's treasurer lost
money. And it was all of the money that had been paid to this treasurer last year in checks and cash, which is how a lot of people pay our dues. We're an independent sorority, so there's not like a big banking system or anything, which is sketchy. So Lauren told me this, and I was like, okay, that's kind of crazy, but like, how much was it? And she's like, it was $11,000. I'm like, are you sure it's not $1,100? She's like, no, it was $11,000. So that's interesting. Other part that I didn't add in the voicemail is that the person who apparently lost that money is now the president of our sorority this year.
What? Wait.
Yeah.
That's fucking crazy. So, the person who, okay, hang on. So I have a couple clarifying questions. Is this the type of sorority that like everyone lives there? Cause there's like, I know there's different types of sororities. This is a type of sorority where like everyone lives in the house. There's like a chef. There's like, it's like nice and fancy and stuff.
No.
Okay. No.
Yeah. We're a little bit like a big club. Like there are about 75 of us. So it's big.
Yeah.
It's pretty well organized, but we're new. We were established in the 2000s. We're interest based. And we're not housed.
Okay, got it. So you're not housed. So this is like a group organization where everyone basically pays forward. And then theoretically, the organization will do events and stuff with that money.
Yeah.
Now, did events transpire like through the year?
Yes. But interestingly, so Lauren, my bestie, was co-social chair that year that this money apparently was lost. And we didn't have great leadership that year. Uh-huh. A lot of the people who were in leadership were like seniors, and they cared a lot about having like really fun senior year experiences.
Yeah.
Instead of like being able to afford things in the sorority. So one thing we do is a spring retreat, and the spring retreat is always a big point of contention because it's really expensive. A bunch of the girls go on a ski trip and they have to pay extra money to go, and they all rent out like this big cabin. And it's a whole thing. And last year, Lauren and her co-social chair said, hey guys, we can't really afford to do this with like what our dues are at right now. Our dues are like $200 a term, so not that much, but yeah, people couldn't really afford it. But our president at that time and the rest of the like executive board, which includes the person who apparently lost this money, they were like, no, we think it's important that we do this trip, so we're gonna do it. And we went into debt.
Interesting. So this woman, who we need a fake name, because you're Tina, your friend is Lauren, and this treasurer, let's call her Cruella. So Cruella.
Okay.
Now Cruella insisted that the ski trip happen.
Yes. I will say, I'll give Cruella the benefit of saying like, she was not the biggest voice for the ski trip, but she was on the board that decided we went, because she's treasurer.
Okay, got it. So she was not the biggest supporter of going, but she was like part of the crew that went. Well, here's a question. Did Cruella go on the ski trip?
Yes.
Did you go on the ski trip?
No, I couldn't afford it.
And when they say lost, what does that mean?
So apparently it was literally like in a little baggie that they keep the cash and like checks in. And what I think is weird is like, if I were treasurer of an organization, I feel like I would immediately go put that money in a bank account, because we have bank accounts.
Wait, okay. But let's say people wrote checks, right? Did those, did those checks like withdraw? Like, did they get withdrawn from the account?
That's a really good question.
Like, did you pay via check for your dues or cash?
I paid via cash, which pisses me off.
Oh, that's weird. Okay, here's what I would ask.
Yeah.
I think that, because I'm definitely going to need to follow up on this, because we're going to go to the bottom, and I'm basically going to make a true crime documentary about this grand larceny. But basically,
okay.
Because to me, if you've got cash is easy to misplace, quote unquote, because cash is easy, right? To be like, okay, we just took the cash out and then it's untraceable. If it was a check, it would have had to, in order for the money to become money, It would have had to be withdrawn from the account that it was written from. So my question to you is, I would like you to figure out if anybody who paid via check had the funds withdrawn. Because if that is
true. I'm going to ask around.
Yeah, if that is true, then this person did something shady with the money, which I still think that they did something shady with the money, especially because it's being kept under wraps. Like, people don't really know that this is what happened, right?
Correct. Like, I only know because people tell Lauren, my friends, everything, or at least like her friends that are on exec are. And so she told me, but in terms of being like just a normal member of the sorority, our sorority has not shared this information with us at all, which I think is kind of, I feel like we should have this democratic society as a sorority.
No, I think that you need to start spreading dissent amongst the proletariat. I think you need to be going out and rising up against the bourgeoisie, because this girl's now the president. And guess what? You've got a corrupt dictatorship that you need to take down, Tina. You and Lauren need to bond together because Cruella is running this ship into the fucking ground. All right? And you've got to show the other sororities that you guys have a fucking power structure that is not worth toppling.
Okay.
So I'm also wondering, what do you think happened with the money?
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Do you think that she literally misplaced the bag, or do you think that something shady happened?
So I know this is one of those people, you know, in college, how everyone's like super excited to be doing a lot of things and like overcommits. I'm one of those people.
Yes.
Just not to my sorority. Cruella is also one of those people. And one of the things that they are is they are a an RA sort of. And so they live in the dorms as a upperclassman. And I'm like, okay, so did you lose it? And like, if I trust you as a person, do you think like one of your residents like took money from you, or like did you lose it and like benefit from that money? I don't know. I don't want to place blame on people, but it just seems so sketchy. And I feel like $11,000 is not a small amount of money. And I'm like, should I be doing something about this?
I mean, $11,000 is like tuition money. Like, if you're like, you know what I mean? That's like a year of tuition at some schools. Unfortunately, now tuition is much more expensive than that in a lot of schools. But the point is, like, that is a significant amount of money. That's like, to be honest, that's life changing money, especially like as a college student. $11,000 could get you so much. Like, you know, you get so far when you're that young and don't have enough capital to do really anything. That's a significant amount of money. So I would say it's worth digging into. Okay, Tina, and I would say that you're going to need to sleuth, but you're going to need to be covert, because if Cruella catches wind that you are sniffing where you don't belong, she is I have a feeling that she's going to be like, why are you asking around about this, if she found out?
Before calling in, because I'm like, I need to talk to somebody about this who's outside of the situation. But before calling in, I literally went on your Instagram for the podcast and I made sure that this person wasn't following you. Because I was like, oh, they might like Miles. Like, I could see that being the case. Like, do they follow anything? And they don't. So okay. I don't think they'll catch wind of this.
That's so fucking funny. By the way, that is a good rule of thumb for anybody that is wanting to spread tea on the show. Look at the Instagram to see if that person is following the account or me. Because I think that is wise to do. People call in all the time and they really slander people in their personal lives. And you want to make sure that that's not coming back to you.
I could see being disaffiliated from my sorority if I if I were found out.
Well, if you get if you get banned or barred from your sorority, I will represent you in honor court.
Thank you so much.
I will represent you as my client. By the way, really funny video series. I come down to your sorority and I represent you as your lawyer to get you reinstated. Holy shit, that's so funny. Well, anyway, Tina, thank you so much for calling in and giving me the dirt. I'm going to need an update call if you ever hear more information about this, because I am absolutely...
I'll sleuth around. Yeah, I will.
I'm going to need you to sleuth around out there for me. Thank you so much for calling in, and you have a wonderful evening. Your sins...
Thank you, you too.
Well, your sins are not really your sins, but let me thank you for your confession. And welcome to perfection.
You're welcome.
You're absolutely welcome. All right. Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.
I love sorority power structure drama. I've honestly recently been, this is an idea that I've been having recently that I don't know where I will put it, but I have been wanting to turn like the perfect person machine into an alternative property that I do like on a YouTube channel. So like, obviously the show will be unchanged, but like the idea that I interact with people, I would like to start solving true crime-esque personal mysteries that are low stakes like this on some sort of like documentary scale. There's a show called Heavyweight that actually just got axed, I think by Spotify, because it's a Gimlet show. And basically he takes mysteries from people's lives that are sort of unsolved or like things that have been weighing on them. And he uses investigative journalism skills to solve them. And it's a really great show. And I've been recently wanting to do a similar thing like that, but as a video series for like low stakes problems in my own weird little YouTube style. Cause I think it's so fun. And there's nothing I love more than just personal mysteries and solving a mystery. And like there was somebody called in a long time ago where there was like, in their sorority, somebody, it was like somebody shaved with their razor, and it was so interesting to me. And then we finally got the call back and we kind of figured out who did it, who done it. Well, at least we got a little closer to it. But anyway, closing the loop on a mystery, there is no greater feeling. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that brings us to the close of our show. The Church of Perfection has taken your sins, your confessions, and we have absolved you. And now, it's time to get real. I was listening to Anthony Bourdain's book recently, his second one. He has a book called Medium Raw. His book, Kitchen Confidential, is like really fucking good. And then he has a book called Medium Raw. And, it just had me thinking about, maybe this is like weird to talk about, but when you're a content creator or you're working in entertainment, there's this weird thing. And it's like basically one of the ways you scale your business and you grow is by working with brands. And there are a lot of great brands. Me trying to be brand approachable. There are a lot of great brands. But something that happens that you see is like the bigger you get, the more you have to weigh, okay, is this brand good enough? I feel good recommending it to people. Are they a brand that can actually do harm to people? And are they just like a big corporate fucking machine that is bad? And the thing that Anthony Bourdain's talks about is basically he was like, he got this Food Network show and he was so confused about why people like Rachel Ray and like, you know, Mario Batali, why those people were shilling for Dunkin' Donuts and these basically big companies that, like, by the way, I have Dunkin' Donuts sometimes, you know, it's been a while, but like if I'm in an airport, there's a Dunkin' Donuts, I'll have a Dunkin' Donut. The point is, like, why would people who are chefs shill for a product that is like big, sugary, diabetes is on the rise, etc.? Why are these people promoting something that is like not good for you for a company that is so big that they could not possibly care about the bottom line or the workers who are being underpaid, having to deal with shit that they get fired for, you know, blinking too much. And I think he makes a really good point in that book about like selling out and how something happened in the last 20 years where The idea of selling out became something that was not as embarrassing as it once was. In the 80s, people would be like, oh, you're a sellout. Like, you are a cool band, and all of a sudden you're like corporate and you sold out. You're endorsing shit that sucks. You're interfacing with celebrities that fucking suck or are canceled. Or like, all of a sudden you're friends with billionaires that fuck over other people. And in influencer world and content creator world, there is this totally like uncanny valley feeling where I feel like I'm taking crazy pills, because there are so many people that seem like ethically, morally, culturally, they should be good, and they choose to interface with shit that fucking sucks. And maybe this is me on my soapbox. And by the way, when I partner with a brand or interface with a celebrity that sucks, then I'll be a hypocrite, and that's fine. But it is a weird thing, and it has me thinking just about, like, I feel so grateful and lucky to have this job, and I want to do everything I can to hold on to it. And I'm in a financial position enough, thankfully, that I don't have to take money from shit that I really think sucks. I don't know that I have a good conclusion to this argument, but I just want to remind people that, like, big brands do not care about consumers. They care about your money. And I think I'm just tired of the sort of TikTok shopification of, like, we're creating this really cool new thing, and, like, we want people like you. And it just is so untrue. And it's not that all the people that work there are fucking evil. It's just that, like, life is too hard right now for the majority of people to believe in that type of shit as being real and true. And there are a lot of good brands and good, you know, actors and good people out there doing genuinely cool stuff. And I understand that it's a fucking capitalist chess game, and sometimes you got to move the pawns on the board if you want to ultimately do something that is worth doing. I get that. Just know that, like, if you're feeling depressed because you're not doing enough, or if you're feeling sad because you feel like you don't have a job, or you feel like you don't have enough money, or you feel like you can't get a house, I just genuinely want you to know it's not because you don't work hard. Maybe it is. But, like, there's these financial influencers out there that are being like, you don't work hard enough, you fucking... And it's like, no, you fucking morons. Everyone has weights around their legs because everything sucks so fucking bad. So just don't be that hard on yourself. Genuinely. Like, work hard. Try to follow your dreams. Try to do the things that are going to allow you to survive. It's so hard to even just survive. So if you're doing the bare minimum and surviving, I genuinely just hope you're light on yourself and you're light around the people around you and you're kind to everybody. Because it's just all we have. And I'll tell you what, next week, I'll be back. I'll be here, back at it, baby. I will be here taking calls, solving problems, and getting wild. And I just want to say thank you so much for listening to the show. I really appreciate it. I'm very grateful for you guys. And just know that no matter how big your problems are, no matter how wild your confessions are, perfection is only a call away.
That was a HeadGum podcast.